by special recording, General Mills, Makers of Wheaties, Breakfast of Champions, and Cheerios, the oat cereal ready to eat, presents The Lone Ranger. Horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty Hi-Yo Silver, the Lone Ranger. With his faithful Indian companion Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains led the fight for law and order in the early western United States. Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse, Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Come on, Silver. Let's go, big fellow. Hail, Silver. Away!
That bronc. Who is it, Lone Ranger?
That's champion Bob Burrows. Watch him stay in that saddle.
Well, he sure makes it look easy.
Well, you know it isn't. Bronc busting is hard to do, harder to learn. Take Bob Burrows. I know he started riding as a youngster. He took his share of spills, but he kept at it.
And he kept in condition, including eating his Wheaties. In fact, now that Bob Burrows is a champion, he still eats Wheaties.
Plenty of practice, plenty of the right food. That's sound advice for anyone hoping to be a champion.
It sure is, Lone Ranger, because champions are made, not born. And there's a good solid reason why Wheaties can give you the energy to go a long, long way. It's this. There's a whole kernel of wheat in every Wheaties flake. A whole kernel of wheat, the cereal grain that's famous for energy. Champions are made, not born. Get on your way with Wheaties, Breakfast of Champions.
Lone Ranger and Tonto rode south, down a moonlit hillside, then across level ground to a lighted cabin. It was one of many scattered houses that had been built in the area during the past year by homesteaders.
Oh, look out, open,
As the masked man and his Indian friend drew rein, the cabin door was opened by a man who held a rifle.
Are you Tom Kent?
Yes. What do you want?
I've heard that you're the leader of the homesteaders. That's true. I have important information for you.
You and your partner dismount and keep your hands away from your guns.
Good, he says, Tonto.
Easy, steady. Easy, scout. Easy, Tonto.
Both of you, keep your hands at shoulder level and walk toward me. Come close enough so I can look you over. And remember, I'm ready to shoot if either one of you reaches for a gun.
We're here as friends.
That other man an Indian?
Yes.
Hold it, you're close enough. You're masked.
Yes.
In that case, I reckon you're all right. Step inside.
Do you mind if my friend stays with the horses?
That's all right.
Me watch horses, Kimasabi.
Most people who see my mask think I'm an outlaw.
Well, aren't you?
No.
Don't bother fibbing to me, mister. I don't care what you are, as long as you're not a cattleman.
Oh?
Now, this is my wife.
How do you do, Mrs. Kent?
Good evening. Are you here to rob us?
Oh, no, Mrs. Kent.
You'd be wasting your time. We haven't anything worth stealing.
I came to warn you and the other homesteaders.
Warn us? Did the cattlemen send you here with another threat?
No, Kent. Have they been threatening you?
They've done a lot more than threaten. All the ranches to the south have combined to try to drive us out. They've cut our fences, shot our livestock, trampled our crops, even tried to poison our water holes.
Well, I've known many cases where cattlemen have tried to drive out people who homestead land that they use for open range. But I'm sure this land was never used for that.
You're right. No one ever ran cattle here. The ranchers couldn't use it because of Indians. You see, this was Indian hunting ground. Redskins came here in small bands to hunt game.
Oh?
So the ranchers couldn't pasture cattle here without leaving a lot of men to guard it. But now things are different.
How's that?
Well, when the Indians came to hunt, we opened fire and drove them away. We must have fired on 15 or 20 hunting parties the first few months we were here. They finally got it through their heads that we meant business. It's been a long time since we've seen any sign of Redskins. And the ranchers know it. Now that the Indians are gone, the cattlemen would like to drive us out. Then they could pasture cattle here.
Tom, the masked man said he came here to warn us. But you're not giving him any chance to talk.
It's all right, Mrs. Kent. I wanted to hear what Tom had to say. It accounts for the action of the Indians.
What Indians?
The ones who are camped in the valley north of the homestead land.
Beyond the hills?
Yes.
Oh, it's all right. As long as they stay there, they won't bother us.
But they're not going to stay there.
Well, what are they planning to do?
Come here, massacre the homesteaders, and burn the buildings.
Tom!
Wait. How do you know their plans?
Tonto and I saw them from a hilltop and wondered why they were gathering in the valley. Tonto was an Indian, so it was easy for him to go among them. He learned that they're waiting for Indians from the west to join them.
When do you think they'll attack?
Well, not before next week.
In that case, the cattlemen are likely to have the first crack at us.
Well, what do you mean?
I told you they've been trying for a long time to drive us out. Well, last week a committee came here headed by a rancher named Bart Belden. Belden said the other cattlemen had authorized him to give us a final notice.
What was the final notice?
We're to pack our wagons and move out by Saturday of this week.
Tomorrow?
There'll be a fight. And we'll lose. But every one of us would rather die than leave this land.
How many will you have on your side?
Well, counting the boys old enough to fire a rifle, there'll be 30 of us.
I can't believe those ranchers would come here like savages to massacre you.
They don't care how they get rid of us. Drive us out or kill us. In either case, they'll have the land.
Tom, you said there were 30 men on your side.
30, if you count the boys.
32, if you count Tonto and me.
What?
I'll be back.
Oh, wait, mister. Wait!
Tom, mask or no mask, that's the kind of a man we need. Call him back.
Right.
Ask him to stay with
me. Yep.
From Tom Kent's home, the Lone Ranger and Tonto rode only a short distance before they drew rein in a small wood. The masked man quickly told his friend what he had learned, then said,
"Unpack my saddlebags, Tonto, while I take off these clothes, will you?
Wear disguise, huh?
Yes.
Where you go, Kimasabi?
To the town of Longhorn. That's where most of the ranchers gather. There'll surely be some of them there tonight, and they'll be talking about the plans for tomorrow.
Me go with you?
No, Tonto. I want you to go in the opposite direction.
Oh? North?
Yes. Right at the top of the hills and watch the Indians in the valley beyond.
Me put your clothes in saddlebags?
Yes, please.
Why me watch Indians?
I have an idea. I may want to know if more Indians join those we saw in the valley.
How long me watch?
Until daybreak. Then come here. If you ride hard, you should be here about 1 hour after daybreak.
Tonto rode north toward the hills that divided the homestead land and the valley where the savages were congregating, while the Lone Ranger, disguised to look like a drifter, traveled in the opposite direction toward the cattle town of Longhorn. In Longhorn, the Lone Ranger left his horse in the darkness behind the cafe, then walked between two buildings to the main street. He saw many horses at the hitch rail. And inside the cafe, a group of ranchers stood near one end of the bar.
Figure that out. Well, there's got to be a showdown.
The Lone Ranger quietly joined the group and soon learned that the big man who was doing most of the talking was Bart Belden, the leader of the cattlemen.
So you fellas spread the word to the ranch owners who are not here. Tell them we're meeting right in front of this cafe at noon tomorrow.
All right, we're here.
Each man to bring his cowhands and plenty of ammunition.
Yeah. Maybe the homesteaders will clear out before noon. You think so, Bob?
Oh, not a chance, Dave. One of my men reported they've no intention of leaving.
There'll be gunplay.
Yeah, I don't see how we can avoid it.
Dad Rabbit, I wish we could avoid it.
Yeah, so do I.
What do you think? I want to use guns on a lot of decent family men, not by a jug for. I thought we could scare them away.
They didn't scare worth a dime.
Well, Dad Rabbit, we got to do something. Can't just forget the nesters. Not I'll, after all the talking we did, be backing down. We'd be the laughing stock of everyone in the West.
That wouldn't hurt you, Belden.
Who said that? Where'd that come from?
I did.
None of the ranchers suspected that the tall stranger who broke into the conversation was actually the famous Lone Ranger, wearing a disguise instead of his mask.
Belden, I doubt that people would laugh at you, but what if they did? Would that laughter be as hard to bear as the guilt of murdering brave pioneers?
You're not a cattleman.
No.
He's not a townsman either.
Maybe he's one of the nesters.
Yeah.
In this case, I'm on the side of the nesters.
Why? You come here?
Let's throw him out.
Maybe we should send him to his friends where it's tar and feathers.
That's it. We'll tar and feather
him. Yeah. Right.
Hey. Hey. Throwing guns on him.
Rush him.
If anyone tries that, I'll stop him with a bullet.
The cattlemen were frozen motionless by the threat of two guns in the hands of the stranger.
Are you men ready to become murderers just to save your foolish pride?
Foolish pride? You tell those nesters we'll call on them tomorrow.
They're expecting you.
He's going out the back door.
Let's get him. Teach him what it means to draw guns on men like us. Come on.
Yeah, come on, let's get him.
There he goes. He had a horse waiting.
Shoot him.
Stand aside. Let me get a shot at him.
Now, boys, hold your fire. Let him go.
You were willing to tar and feather him.
Yeah, and send him to the nesters as an example. But shooting them is something different.
The curtain falls on the first act of our Lone Ranger adventure. Before the next exciting scenes, please permit us to pause for just a few moments.
Did you ever hear of a cereal box that sings? Well, I'm going to tell you about a special Wheaties box that practically does just that. Here, listen to a few seconds of this record.
Pony boy, won't you be my pony boy? Don't say no, here we go.
Now, wasn't that record sharp and clear? But here's an amazing thing about it. It came from the front of a special Wheaties box. That's right, there's an actual 5-inch plastic record sealed right on the front of this special Wheaties box I'm talking about. All you do is take a pair of scissors and cut the record out, easy as pie. Then play it on any 78 RPM manually controlled record player. And listen, Pony Boy is just one of the tunes you can get. There's also On Top of Old Smokey, Glowworm, Blue Tail Fly, Take Me Out to the Ball Game, and many others. So go down to your grocer right now and pick up the special Wheaties record box. Remember, these records are absolutely free of extra cost. A real bargain in fun.
Now to continue.
Easy, Silver. Easy, boy.
Soon after leaving town, the Lone Ranger slowed the great horse Silver to a steady lope, and while riding, he considered the details of a plan by which he hoped to avert a tragic fight between the ranchers and the homesteaders.
Oh, Silver, oh, boy. Easy, steady.
In an hour, he reached the homestead land and drew rein beside a creek that sparkled in the moonlight. He washed the stain from his face and hands, then changed into his own familiar clothes and fixed his mask in place.
Now, Silver, we'll call again on Tom Kent. He's a steady big fellow. Come on, Silver!
Tom! Tom, the door!
Yeah, I'll see who it is, Mary.
It's awful late. You suppose someone's sick and needs help?
Soon, no. Oh, it's you.
It's a mess, man.
May I come in?
Yes, yes, of course.
We hoped you'd return.
I'm glad to find you still awake.
I've been readying my rifle. Have a chair.
Oh, thanks. Tom, I came to discuss a plan with you. It may save the land, the homes, and the lives of all your friends.
If it'll do that, I'm for it.
We'll need the help of all the homesteaders.
We're united, mister.
The others will follow Tom's lead.
Good. Now, here's what I've learned. The cattlemen and their ranch hands are going to assemble at noon in front of the Longhorn.
After hearing the plan, Tom Kent gave his wholehearted approval. Then he and the masked man spent the night riding to each of the widely scattered cabins to rouse homesteaders from their sleep and enlist their support. It was about an hour after daybreak when the Lone Ranger left Tom and rode to the nearby woods. He found Tonto there ahead of him.
Oh, easy, steady.
Kimasabi.
I wonder why you're not here.
I've been covering a lot of ground, Tonto. What about the Indians?
Same number, still in valley.
Are they quiet?
Them not start war dance. But many Indian not sleep at night. Me see him around campfire. Clean rifle, throw tomahawk. Me see him make plenty war sign.
Then they're becoming restless.
Them not like long wait.
In that case, they may be in just the right mood. Tonto, we're going to challenge those Indians to war.
But King Asani,
I'll tell you about it while we prepare breakfast.
After a hearty meal, the Lone Ranger and Tonto concealed their camping gear beneath a pile of underbrush, mounted their horses, and rode north.
Monsilvi, I'm off count!
It was nearly 10 o'clock when they reached the top of the hill and saw the Indians in camp.
Who's it, Monsilvi?
Oh, Indians not see us, Kimosabe.
Well, they will in a minute. We're close enough. They'll hear you when you shout.
I'm here.
After we get their attention, translate what I say and make it loud.
Me savvy.
Where's the leader?
Oh, him over that way. Him by big red rock.
I'll fire at the rock.
Okay. Him jump plenty far.
They're all looking this way. Shout to them before they open fire. Say, you are not men, you are cowardly jackals.
Who day sowing? Hamgatu. Gole dundun.
You dare not ride to war.
Fuga sodeum.
You wait for braver men to join you.
Huma kedu.
You fear even two men.
Fuga oduke.
Oh, them plenty mad.
I'll give them a few more shots.
Only a few of the savages paused to fire their old and inaccurate rifles. The majority, lashed to a fury by taunts and insults, leaped astride their horses.
Now them come, Kimosabe.
And we'll go. Come on, Silver.
Come up, scout.
The Lone Ranger and Tonto raced down the hill and continued south with the enraged Indians in pursuit. The great strength and speed of Scout and Silver made it easy to stay well ahead. The chase settled down to a contest of endurance. The Indians, unable to gain, maintained a dogged pursuit, while the Lone Ranger and Tonto made no effort to increase their lead. They led the way past the homestead land without going near any of the cabins and continued toward Longhorn.
Monsignor, stop!
At noon, the ranchers and their cowhands stood in the street in front of the Longhorn Cafe and listened to Bart Belden's last-minute instructions.
Now, don't shoot women or children. If the men open fire, shoot back, but aim to wound if possible. I'd like to drive those nesters out without any killing.
Well, there's bound to be killing, Bart. It can't be avoided.
Likely some of us will get killed.
That's a chance we've got to take. We can't back down.
I wish we could.
Hey, look there.
Turning toward the far end of town, the ranchers saw two hard-riding horsemen turn sharply into the main street.
Hey, they're riding fast and coming this way.
Hey, what's an Indian?
One's wearing a mask.
Indians!
What'd he say?
Indians!
Something about Indians.
Hey, here they come! Indians!
The Indians were enraged beyond the point of reason by the frustration of the long and tantalizing pursuit. They saw the masked men and the Indian who had taunted them and drew rein.
Hold her! Oh, easy. Take cover! Defend the town!
Without pausing to ask questions, the ranchers hurried to the shelter of buildings on both sides of the street. The Indians, eager to give vent to their pent-up fury of pillage, plunder, and murder, leaped from their horses and scattered to convenient cover. Ranchers, cowboys, and townsmen fought together. The Lone Ranger was with Bart Belden and several other men firing through the front windows of the cafe.
Those redskins are hard to hit. They've sure found lots of cover.
Several of them are hiding behind the barrel in that alley across the street.
Yeah, I know it. I think I got one of them.
Lucky you ranchers happen to be in town, Belden. Otherwise, the townsmen would be outnumbered.
Yeah. Hey, how'd you know we're ranchers? How'd you know my name?
Save your questions until the fight's over.
But that mask...
There's a fire arrow on a roof across the street.
Fire! Indians are using fire arrows!
Yes, and if one building catches fire, the whole town will burn.
Someone's going to the roof with water.
Try to give that man protection.
That's how those redskins will lick us. They'll stay behind barricades where we can't hit them and shoot fires to the buildings.
That's Jim Halsey on the roof. He's got the fire out.
That's just one fire. There'll be more.
Listen, we're
probably means more Injuns.
No, Belden, it's help for you and the townsmen.
Who's there to help us?
The homesteaders.
All right, he's right. Here they come. Hey!
The homesteaders, led by Tom Kent, rode behind the rows of buildings, firing at the Indians who had taken shelter in the spaces between the stores and shops. The savages were caught between two fires and fled in panic. Many were shot before they reached their horses. When the surviving Indians had disappeared in the distance, the ranchers and homesteaders met in the street. The Lone Ranger stood with Bart Belden and Tom Kent.
Well, Belden, because of you, the homesteaders left their property.
Yeah.
But you didn't drive them out. They left so they might help you and the townspeople.
We saw the Redskins racing past our land, and they were heading south, so we figured Longhorn might be in for trouble.
Well, I'm glad you came.
It just happened. We were all assembled. I reckon you know why.
Yes, Kent, I know why. You were ready to put up a fight against us.
Bart, if you want to attack these nesters, you'll have to do it without me.
And without me.
Oh, now, how can we move against men who saved our lives? Kent, we want men like you in the West. If you folks ever need help, just call on me.
Thanks, Belden.
Call on any of us.
I'll swap you some beef for hen's eggs, Kent. Right. We'll both eat better.
Kent, would you shake hands with a man who had the wrong slant, but who's willing to admit a mistake?
Glad to.
Hey, Bart, you were going to ask that masked man some questions.
Yeah, I would. Well, where is he?
Over there. He's with his engine pad.
Hold on, mister. I want to talk to you.
Another time, Belden. We may meet again. Let's go, Toto.
Let's
count. Doggone, I didn't even get a chance to find out who he is. But there's something familiar about him. I'm sure I've met him before. His voice was...
Yes, Belden, you talked to him last night in the cafe. He told me about his trip to town.
That's right. He looked a lot different and he wasn't masked. But I remember him saying that he was a friend of the Nesters.
He's a friend of yours, too. Now that you're on the right side, he's the Lone Ranger.
When boys line up to run a race, Galloping Gordon sets the pace. He comes in first because he knows he's got go power from Cheerios. Yes, he's got go power. There he goes. He's feeling his Cheerios. Cheerios. Cheerios.
Say, you ought to try Cheerios, the delicious food with go power. Cheerios, the oat cereal that needs no cooking. Add milk, and you've got just the breakfast to start a healthy, happy day. It's real muscle-building food. Every spoonful contains vitamins, minerals, and proteins your body needs. They help give you healthy nerves, good red blood, strong bones and muscles. So eat Cheerios. People will say...
He's feeling his Cheerios.
The Lone Ranger, a copyrighted feature of the Lone Ranger Incorporated, is created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Muir Incorporated, directed by Charles D. Livingston, and edited by Fran Stryker. The part of the Lone Ranger is played by Brace Beamer. Your announcer, Fred Foy. The Lone Ranger is brought to you by General Mills every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at this same time. Be sure to listen. This recorded program has come to you from Detroit. This is ABC Radio Network.